Thank you, Nelson, and thank you for all of you that have prayed through the week and reminded of this is the Lord's Word. And if any of you are out there just saying these thoughts for the first time, just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone. I hope you've thought about that. I hope if you haven't, come to the Lord right now. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God. I come. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these letters in Timothy and your messenger, Paul, the apostle, that wrote all these, that we can have them this day. We pray your ministry of your Holy Spirit to our minds, to the minds of the needs of the people here. Lord, pray you would enlighten me, the words that I speak, that you bring through the passage your blessing in each and every way. Oh, Father, we thank you for your Son, that your word extols, magnifies, and manifested in the flesh, came as Son of Man, Son of God, and died on the cross to pay for our sin. Father, just pray that anyone here that hasn't recognized they're in Satan's camp as a sinner, come to you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Getting into this study has been a real blessing, and I wanted to say we're definitely praying for Chadians to come to the Lord. Over the years, you folks have prayed. And this, a month ago, in January the 4th, the Moy got the New Testament Bible dedicated in there. What a day of rejoicing. And because of the work that went forth since the year 2000, there's at least 100 Moy, or you're going to be visiting in glory. And there's more on the way, I'm sure. But anyway, thank you for praying, and we can rejoice with the Moy, and Lord willing, with Chadian, that Jeremy and their family, or the work going on there, will have fruit. This study on 2 Timothy 4 is, I've titled it, it's to do with our conduct and finishing in Christ well. Finishing well is to continue where you're, what you're doing, is the reminder, and the conduct there is to finish well. I'll be reading from, I have an Amplified Bible here with me. We read it a lot in our home, but I'll be also reading it, the text from the King James as well. So we'll get started here. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And before I get going, I've broken this down into about five different pieces, because that's just to give an overview of where we're heading. And so here we have being admonished to preach the gospel, and then we get partway into the chapter. Paul says his goodbye is being announced, and he's about to be martyred. And then later on, he gets into how he was abandoned and how that all worked out. And then he gets back into his goodbyes again, and that and talks of glory, and then his final farewell at the end of the chapter. So this, getting started into this first verse, I charge thee therefore, the word charge was a little different than what I imagined it to be. 1 Timothy 1 has that same word, but it means command. And 1 Timothy 6 also has that same word, charge, means command. Well, here it's a different Greek word, which kind of startled me. It kind of, something I learned, and praise God. At any rate, it has the idea to testify, bear witness, to bear record, it's the same root word of Acts 1:8, and God, you will be witness, God will give you power to be witnesses for me by the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and utter all the parts of the earth. But this word witness is martyr in Greek. Well, that's a little different. God, I didn't really sign up to be a martyr. Like, this is the word Paul's using here. The word charge in the Greek is to be a martyr, but to bear record, to bear witness. This is what Paul's telling Timothy to, as it were, die for. And it reminded me of that phrase that we had heard of in Jim Elliot saying, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And that reminds me of, this is kind of the general thought that comes out in Matthew 10, 38, 39. Jesus is talking, he who does not take up his cross and follow me, that is, cleave steadfastly to me, this is continuing, conforming wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his lower life will lose it, the higher life. And whoever loses his lower life on my account will find the higher life. I was reminded years ago of the Word of God, and it's been extolled here. Even last week it was mentioned, the few verses before this, the value, the sacredness that we have in the Word of God. This is God's inspired Word that we have here. The King of Kings, the Ancient One, the Forever One has given us His Word. We do real well to heed up, listen up what God's got for us. And in reminding of what I was doing with my life about age 40, am I living for what's worth dying for? Are you living for what's worth dying for? Are you dying for, in Christ, what's worth living for? Turn around the other way too. But I was reminded in the mechanics, a near accident, you can be crushed under these heavy equipment. A neighbor was. Are you living for what's worth dying for? An accident would happen on your scene at work and you died. Was it worth being there for that? So here Paul is saying, I charge you, I bear, and the word the is behind it, but in the Greek that is part of be a witness of. You be a witness of. You, Timothy, you bear record of. And he's saying it, therefore, and that's what is it there for. And we can go to the previous few verses, chapter 3, back to verse 10. Paul is saying, now you have closely observed, diligently followed my teaching, conduct, purpose in life, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecution, suffering, such as occurred to me at Antioch, at Iconium, persecutions I endured, Lystra, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And Paul's delighting to point out God's power in him, then down to verse 14. But as for you, continue to hold to these things that you have learned, of which you are convinced, knowing that from whom you have learned them, and how from your childhood you have had a knowledge of and being acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to instruct you and give you understanding of salvation which comes through faith in Christ Jesus. That is, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ Jesus in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Here it is. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness that is in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. so that the man of God may be complete, proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This gripped me this years ago. This is the Word of God. We've got the Word of God. We're trying to get it around town. People won't listen. A lot of times you talk to them about the Word of God. We felt, oh, we're just bench warmers here. Let's go. And that's, we've got the Word of God, and people like in the Moy, which was part of you through us being there helping, getting, they don't have the Word of God. They're waiting for it, and they're open to it. Hallelujah. There's people over there, and right in town here, or in the mall. They'll listen. Anyway, back to our charge, the therefore, other Bibles read, in light of the presence, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Paul is giving a motive here. We have purpose to live for. There's going to be a judgment coming, and it's going to be something else. And here it's saying, at the power, his appearing and his kingdom. And a couple of weeks ago, the phrase, I think Brother Mark brought it, according to, and that's probably, according to this Bill McDonald, that's a better way. At his appearing is according to, it will be manifest in his and his kingdom. So the idea of continuing in conduct is because there's a judgment coming. We're going to be judged for the things that we do. And that was previously in a previous chapter. And I didn't write it down, but it's, well, if I think of what it was, I'll come back to it. At any rate, Paul is being there in prison, and he's realizing that his time is coming to an end. He's saying, next verse, to preach the word, and that is to herald it, be the evangelist, whether it's agreeable or not, in season or out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we have the in season and out of season, and it's a bit like when it's opportunity. Yes, I'll preach the gospel, I'll share. But it's also, there's times that it doesn't work with your schedule to share a reproof or a rebuke. And that can be hard in the sense of, and it shouldn't be, but if someone's got a fault, that I would call that, to me, it's out of season. I don't want to go there. Don't want to point the guy's fault out. But if you're kayaking, or a group, or a couple, or whatever, are kayaking on the Niagara, 100 meter up from the falls, and you're just waving them off, like, have a good day. Yep. And you can hear the roar of the falls coming. They're deaf as a stone. They don't hear that. You'd be dumb not to tell them the danger that's ahead. So this is what Paul's saying, to reprove. Reprove means to admonish, to tell faults. It's, you're on the wrong path, you guys out there in the kayak. You're going to go over the falls, and that'll be the end of you. You're not wrong to warn them of the danger that they're in. And we need to do that for each other. And rebuke would mean to correct, admonish, even forbid. Encourage is a kind of a different word, and exhort is to encourage. It's also to pray with. It has the word para, like we have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, Paracletus. Well, this word exhort is to come alongside parakleo. It's almost the same. And it's to comfort our brothers. And with lots of patience, verse 2 there. And with doctrine, there would be instruction, teaching, and truth. Because what's going to happen? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they shall heap to themselves teachers in accordance with their own lusts. This word will comes out, they will not endure. And it almost reminds me of, we can have evangelists that are entertainers. They give something new to hear, and they entertain their crowds. We had a phrase in Indonesian about the gospel hitting their ears. Well, here, this is like a medical problem. Itching ears could be fungus in the ears in real life, but this is, it's something, there's wrong here. And what do? We have this saying, birds of a feather flock together. Well, they heap to themselves teachers in accordance with their own lusts, with their own ideas. And verse 4, they shall, it's the will, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. This is on purposely turning away from truth, and shall be turned toward fables. Now, just a week or two ago, we had this fable. You probably all have heard of Wired and Willie. He popped out of his hole, and he looked around. Oh, it's sunny out. Another 6 weeks of winter coming. Or maybe it was shadowy that day, and he didn't get scared at all, and spring's almost around the corner. But that's a fable. That's what that is. And it's the same with the Easter Bunny. And that doesn't lay Easter eggs. Or Santa Claus. These are fables. Well, these are apparent false teaching and false things. Verse 5 then. Paul says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. This to be watch is to be on guard, be sober. And reminds me of the introduction of this is a dear son. Paul's talking to Timothy. There was none like Timothy. And it reminds me of my dad and father-son relationship. And I've had that here with brother John Fry, working in the barn. He was like a father to me. And now, even looking back, I can remember the last conversation I had with John Fry before he passed away. It's, you have a dear friend like that, and this is how Paul is saying, my dear son. He calls him that earlier on in 1 Timothy. He says, watch thou, be on guard. This is sober. It's be in self-control, and then endure. And this is a theme that runs through Timothy time and time again. Keep on, continue on. And it's got the idea of an athlete. This comes out different times in chapter 2, I think it was, the athlete. He strives and for the mastery. He does by the rules. He endures. The soldier before that, he endures hardship. The farmer, he endures too, waiting for the crop and be the first one to take in the reward. So to keep on keeping on is what Paul's saying here, to endure afflictions. And that's not easy. We just reminded of the Lord, how he endured and was before criticism, and he didn't say a word. And he didn't fight back. And Paul is saying, endure afflictions, endure hard times. And the work of an evangelist, don't give it up. The word's got to get out there. And then with fulfilling thy ministry, I want to read it from the Amplified here, verse 5. As for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. Sometimes we get tired, we get weary, but Paul is admonishing here, fully perform all the duties of your ministry. There are some things that are easy to do out of love. There's other things we do it because it's a duty to do. Now we get, this is a dramatic letter in the sense, next verse, I am ready now to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And some versions have as a drink offering. There's after the sacrifice was put together, they poured out wine over top of the offering, different amounts for different size of sacrifice. Well, it's like his lifeblood is ready to be offered up. And at this time, he says that the time of his departure, that word there is like a ship being cast off from the dock. It's a very common word at that time with different meanings, that the ropes are let loose off a ship and let go, or another farmer phrase would be that the horses have been plowing all day and they're tired and they get the plow let go, that this departure is his life is at the end and he has received he's on death row. This is implied. He would seem like he's found out the day that he's going to be executed. And so he says, his goodbyes here, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I have endured to the end. This time and time again, good comes out and fight. And I wrote down a little note here. Good as an adjective occurs about 18 times in 1st and 2nd Timothy. If you go through it, it's over and over time that Paul uses this adjective, the good. And then the fight, we're in a struggle. We're in a warfare. And I have fought the good fight, and it's a spiritual fight. It's not necessarily one that's with a sword, that's visible. It could be. And I have finished my course. This is the end of his life. And he's being very somber about this. And then in saying, I've kept up the faith, it's like to read some verses from Romans 13 here. I was reading through verses 13. And this is keeping the faith in the sense of, first of all, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he is a rewarder of them that come to him, and that's putting their faith in him. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that governs our lifestyle. Verse 13 of Romans 13, let us live and conduct ourselves honorably and becomingly as in the open light of day, not in reveling, carousing, and drunkenness, not in immorality and debauchery, sensuality and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh, but put a stop to thinking about evil cravings of your physical nature to gratify its desires and lust. Paul is saying here, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, not to me only, but also unto all those who love his appearing. Here, this word crown is not the thing on your head, not the diadem. It's the garland. Again, we're talking about the games of getting a prize. there's laid up for me righteousness. And in that righteousness, we had that thought this morning that God has declared us righteous by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second part to that, too, is living righteously. So there's it's a two-part here that crown of righteousness goes to the deeds that we have done. Earlier on, it talks about reigning with Christ, and that part is dying to self, to the reward there. And the reference there is, it talks about denying. I think it's back in chapter 2. And there's rewards that will be denied when we're not living right. And there's an example we're coming to in a couple of verses here of possibly someone like that. And that would be Demas, but we'll come to that. We know that the Lord is the righteous judge. There isn't anything outside of God. We might think some things are not fair, but the Lord is righteous, and that gives us that reason to live rightly, holy, pure. And it being said that it's not only to me, it's for all of us. It's for you. But unto all those who love his appearing. And that reminded me of 1 John 3:3, very common verse, passage. And everyone who has this hope resting on him cleanses, purifies himself just as he is pure, chaste, undefiled, guiltless. We live with this goal to be living pure. He could come at any time. Verse 9, use diligence to come to me shortly unto me. So Paul is saying, like an athlete or like the soldier, don't get distracted. Don't dilly-dally. Make your focus. Make your effort. Why is he saying this? Well, he's got this death sentence. And also, he is lonely. There's no one like company like Timothy for Paul. So don't get distracted. Imprisonment, it was a horrible place to be. And yet, ironically, there's the place that God kept Paul safe was in prison. His enemies would kill him otherwise. The other thing is, Paul had time on his hands. In this time, he wrote epistles or letters. We have this letter here today because he's in prison. And so God works out for good that which is meant for evil. And that was a difficult situation to be in, and yet Paul's saying, come unto me shortly. So we praise the Lord. Paul had the time to write these letters. And here we have Demas. He says he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I thought this would be an example of those rewards that was talking about in the previous chapter there that would be denied Demas. He gave up the work. He maybe saw an opportunity in maybe think something of a lifetime. Demas has talked about different times previously of being a faithful worker, like a good worker, good help for Paul. But this having loved this present world. And there's other verses that talk about lovers of pleasure. We've read through them and in different places that we are not to be a lover of this world, but one that loves his appearing. So Demas is forsaken, and only Luke is with me, verse 11. So here Luke is called beloved. He's a doctor, and that would be an encouragement. Also, we have take Mark and bring him with thee. So we know Mark deserted Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey before. And on the next journey, Paul couldn't take Mark, and so off went Paul and Silas. We don't hear anything more of Barnabas, and yet we hear of the testimony that Barnabas still had faith to go wherever he did with Mark, and Mark gets reinstated. Now, this may have been 10, 20, 20 years later, passed between these two. So we know the testimony of Barnabas, even though no more is said, that here we have Mark again, and actions speak louder than words, then we don't hear anything of Barnabas. On to verse 12 then. This is Tychicus. Paul sends him to Ephesus, possibly to replace Paul and to be able to let Timothy come. Tychicus thought he was the man that went the Gentile into the temple with Paul. He was accused of that in Jerusalem. We don't know that for sure, but at any rate, we have the final greetings here, the final part, that he wants his coat, so that's why Timothy is to come quickly, possibly. It's not nice there in prison, possibly quite cold. And then he's also bring with you the books for reading, scrolls, and parchments for writing these epistles. Paul makes a remark about Alexander in that how much evil he did and possibly was the guy that charged him through this death sentence, and doesn't say much other than Timothy, verse 15, you beware of him. Watch out for him. He greatly withstood our word. This word here is logos. He greatly resisted God's word. We read of Alexander about six times. We don't know if the same one. Some think it could be. I read one outline that of him being the same person every time. But here he is, the coppersmith, and on the reverse side, verse 17, the Lord stood with me. And here Paul had divine power and strengthened me. Well, this word strengthened comes, it's dynamo, dynamite. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it is a power of God. This word is power, but it's a prefix on it. It's to empower. If you ask me what motors running an international tractor on the Magnum, it's empowered by Cummins engine. Well, it was God's power here that even though everyone left him, it says God powered him, and that the preaching might be fully known, all the Gentiles might hear. And he was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. So it was God's empowering him there, and he can do that for us too when we are sharing the word. A Roman citizen wasn't allowed to be beaten. They weren't allowed to be thrown to the lions or crucified. So we understand Paul was beheaded then. And he is saying, the Lord shall deliver me here in the ending from every evil work. Preserve me unto his heavenly king. And the idea here is that he shall give me the strength to continue to be in keeping on. Then we get the last few closing remarks. Different ones we know. We recognize Prisca and Aquila. They were tent makers with him. We hear of Onesiphorus earlier on in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. Tenderness there. And then there's a bunch of names here. They're only mentioned once. But we have that in our life too. Close people that work with us, they're dear. And so here Paul mentions them for us to realize that they were very dear to him. The ending verse, he's saying, try with all diligence to come before winter. And imagine that's to before his death sentence, but also before that he could get his cloak for keeping warm. So here he's saying, farewell, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord be with thy spirit. And it is God's spirit in you. He's going to be with you wherever you travel, whether it's the other side of the world in the Moai tribe. It could be in the jungle in the middle of it, anywhere, in the bush, or in the kitchen. God is with you, and you can be sure of that. And final, grace be with you. Amen. And that's for all of us, for this week, for today. Let's close in prayer. Well, God, our Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you for this lifeblood Paul poured out for living for and living in Christ, living for the gospel, the spread of the gospel. And we thank you for the testimony of Timothy and others. And for each one here, Lord, I pray your strengthening for us in evangelism, in preaching, in teaching, Lord, in truth. Pray your strengthening, that promise that you will always be with us. And so we read in Matthew 28 that, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the age. And Lord, we're not quite at the end yet. We just thank you that you are with us. Guide each one of us in this day, even going to our homes and coming this evening. Your blessing on the report from Chad. Lord, we just rejoice in these and the freedoms we have in this country. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.